Performance. Your radio just got ripped.
Hey, who wants to live longer? Go to Super
Tune into the Superhuman Channel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and listen to
prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Don't forget to visit the website, superhumanradio.com. And if you want to email me, the email address is onair@superhumanradio.com. Russian kettlebell training promises to increase strength, power, and overall conditioning. But what exactly is kettlebell training? My first guest can answer these questions because he's Pavel Tsatsulin, and he's the country's foremost kettlebell trainer. Welcome to the show, Pavel.
Good morning, Carl. Great to be on your show.
My pleasure to have you. You know, there's a lot more exposure to this concept of kettlebell training, and I think that most people hear about it spoken in gyms, but they're not clear on what exactly kettlebell training is. So why don't you just give us an overview of what it is?
Imagine a cannonball with a handle. Imagine the way that not only can you do a lot of conventional exercises like presses with, but you can swing, which makes it really powerful. The primary kettlebell exercise is the swing, where you literally swing the bell between your legs and then swing it in front of you. And the metabolic cost of this type of exercise is extremely high. And you also have safe, repetitive dynamic loading that increases your strength, increases your conditioning, and has carry over in pretty much anything that you do.
So now, see, I was going to ask you, what can I do with a kettlebell without that I can't do with a dumbbell? But there you just answered it. So in other words, repetitive swing motions.
It's the primary thing, but the kettlebell has advantages in other exercises as well. Let's look at the press.
Okay.
Let's look at the military press, for instance. With a dumbbell, you have to start the press fairly high. The dumbbell has to be above your shoulder. Because, you know, if you're using a little Canon Barbie dumbbell, yeah, you can start it low.
Right.
But otherwise, the range of motion is compromised because simply the dumbbell gets in your own way. And when you finish the press on the top, you can't really get a good lockout either if you press two of them because the dumbbells get in their own way.
That's right, right.
The kettlebell, because of the offset center of gravity, you can start the press very low, which is promotes flexibility, promotes muscle gains. And when you finish it, the weight is offset. They don't bang together, and you have extra mobility, stability, flexibility benefits for your shoulder.
Interesting. Now, when I look at the kettlebell, and I tried to do a little research on the origin of using a kettlebell for strength training, and I personally couldn't come up with anything, and I'm sure that you can tell me more, but when I look at it, I kind of think that it must be, this must have originated as the ringer inside of a bell. Is that correct?
Most likely it was a weight used for scales.
Ah, okay.
We do not know for sure, but the kettlebell goes back at least 300 years old. The earliest reference in the Russian literature to kettlebells in 1704, but it's older than that.
Now, is kettlebell training exclusively something that started in Russia?
I am not entirely sure, Carl. I do know that there is also a kettlebell tradition in England, kettlebell tradition in Germany, and also even in the United States.
Okay.
In New York, Zig Klein in New York used to train with kettlebells. He was a very famous man.
Yeah, and I know that they have kettlebells up at the West Side Barbell Club in Cleveland, where Louis Simmons trains the powerlifters up there. I know powerlifters use kettlebells as well.
Well, absolutely. I've been to the West Side. I've taught kettlebells at the West Side, and these guys are really in the ball. They made great gains with kettlebells. I'll tell you a couple stories. Donnie Thompson, he's a super heavyweight.
Right, I know he is.
Came to me a few years ago, and Donnie, his deadlift was stuck at 766, and he kept hurting his back, and he wasn't going any further. Well, I showed him a few drills with kettlebells, and he stopped deadlifting. And I didn't tell him to stop deadlifting, but he did. 9 months later, Donnie pulled 832. And after that also, he was training with kettlebells. He also added 100 pounds on his bench press that he credits with kettlebells.
Wow.
And the year after, Donnie won the world title. And Donnie's training partner, Spud Bartley, both of these gentlemen came to my kettlebell instructor course. He added 44 pounds to his bench press due to kettlebells, and he set the world total record in the 270-pound weight class. Why does the kettlebell do that? We're not entirely sure, but you know what? We're not going to worry about it. Worse it works, right?
Right, that's right. Now, do you think that it also comes from the fact that there's a word thrown around in fitness today, and it's, in my opinion, it's used incorrectly when people talk about core strength. When I think about core strength, I think about unified muscle groups working together simultaneously. I don't think about abs and so on like other people refer to core strength. Do you think that the kettlebell, because you can swing it and it recruits so many other muscles in controlling it, that it actually builds a greater degree of what I consider real core strength?
Well, you're right. Let's get started on this, Carl. Great conversation. The problem I have with the concept of core strength, a friend of mine even says, I don't have a core. I had my TVA amputated. But the problem I have is usually it's associated with some circus move, standing on one foot and a ball juggling orange.
Right.
And you know what? To train your midsection, you must train heavy. The loading has to be very intense.
Right.
And there's no way around it. So one way to do that is by doing things like heavy squats or deadlifts, obviously. Another way of doing that is by using inertial loading. And think of the kettlebell. Louis Simmons has a great expression, virtual force. What's virtual force? Drop a 50-pound kettlebell on your toe, and you'll find out. You know, that's virtual force.
Right.
Dealing with these deceleration forces that you constantly have to hammer, then you really have to engage your midsection. Incidentally, Dr. Stuart McGill, who is the number one spine biomechanist in the world, he endorses kettlebells as a means for promoting back health, which is very interesting.
Wow.
Looks scary, but it works. We have countless stories of people coming back from some pretty bad situation when they're back and fixing it.
We've got about 2 minutes before the first break. What are some other examples of kettlebell exercises that you teach at your clinics that you put on?
At my clinic, we teach it. It's a 3-day course. It's a very, very hard course. Our failure rate has been as high as 30% at some point. It's quite difficult to be around 20. And there are only 6 exercises we teach, which is the swing, the clean, the get up, the front squat and the snatch, and then the press. The point is, if you learn these lifts properly, it's like knowing the alphabet. You can put together almost any letters, any words from it, because you learn the mechanics. We don't just teach you how to lift the kettlebell. We teach you the better body mechanics, and they do apply to a great variety of things.
Wow, that's very interesting. So those are the component, the basic movements, and then you can combine those in different series to get different results.
You can even bring it down just to even 2 exercises. In my book, Enter the Kettlebell, I give the program minimum. There are only 2 drills there, which is the swing and the get up. So when we get back from the break, Carl, I'm going to tell you listeners about the benefits of these 2 exercises, just the swing, just the get-up, and the kind of immediate results you're going to see in your body.
Okay, and I also want to mention that if you'd like to get a copy of Pavel's book, it's on my website also. If you go to superhumanradio.com and click today's schedule link and go to the detail page of today's show, down at the bottom you'll see a link to order the book on kettlebell training. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking to Pavel Tsatsouline about kettlebell training. We'll be right back.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of.
buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Turinabol from primordialperformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at primordialperformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Turinabol from primordialperformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at primordialperformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Managing insulin is key to building muscle and staying lean. Now from NeedToBuildMuscle.net, get the most effective insulin-mimicking, insulin-sensitizing, nutrient-partitioning supplement available without a prescription. Need2Slin. Need2Slin combines scientifically proven agents that shuttle glucose out of the bloodstream and into muscle, avoiding fat accumulation while simultaneously increasing insulin sensitivity on a cellular level. Need2Slin is so powerful that it should only be taken before a meal. You can get Need2Slin by visiting NeedToBuildMuscle.net. Don't risk another meal becoming fat and not muscle. Get Need2Slin today. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking to Pavel Tsatsulin about kettlebell training. So, Pavel, you were going to say, you were going to explain a couple of the exercises.
Okay, the swing and the get up. The swing, again, pretend that you're performing a vertical jump with a kettlebell in your hand.
And are you holding it with both hands or one hand?
One way or the other.
Okay.
And instead of projecting the force into going vertical, you project the force into the kettlebell as if you're striking the kettlebell. And that will build the hip power, this will build explosive strength, it will build conditioning. And the other exercise is the get-up. The get-up is quite literally, you're lying on your back with the kettlebell straight overhead, and then you're standing up and then getting back down while keeping your arm vertical. And the purpose of this exercise is, first of all, to develop stability, mobility, and resilience of your shoulder. Because think of it this way, whenever you're in a contact sport and your shoulders may be strong in one plane, let's say you're doing the bench press.
Right.
You get outside of that plane, you got a problem.
That's right.
And none of those little silly exercises with cables and rubber bands are going to take care of it for you. So here we train the shoulder in a lot of different planes. And if you also do enough volume, that builds muscles in the upper back and shoulders very effectively. Now, it's also very healthy for the back. Dr. Stuart McGill explains why the get-up, it trains, it develops very good movement strategies for while maintaining a braced midsection and a neutral spine. So for some very boring reasons, that's really good for the back as well. But the bottom line, if you look at the kettlebell, look at the research, some things we may not understand, but when they compared kettlebell training in some studies in Russia, if you want to know the specifics, you can drop a line, drop me a line on dragondoor.com.
Say the website again?
Pardon? Dragondoor.com.
Dragondoor.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And stop by in the forum. And I can give you some of the studies. But they would compare things like this. One group would practice standing jumps, pull-ups, and running. And the other group would practice nothing but kettlebells. And at the end of the study, the kettlebell group would beat the first group in every one of the events. And there are many studies like that. In the kettlebell community, we call this the what the hell effect. I don't quite understand it, but you know what? We're not going to argue with that. It works, and that's good enough for us.
Now, you know what I really like about kettlebells also is the fact that they're very Spartan. I mean, if you have a kettlebell in your home, you can do a very thorough routine and get much more out of it than you would typically if you went to a gym and did, you know, a routine there using all of the machines. So it's convenient for people who are limited on time, and it's convenient for people who just don't want to go out to exercise. They want to exercise in their own home.
You're absolutely right, and the kettlebell is a completely comprehensive gym in your hand pretty much. How does this work? Well, for instance, you think, how can it be? It's a fixed weight. What can you do with that? Well, let's use the example of training your legs, for instance.
Okay.
Let's say you have a 50-pound kettlebell.
And this is an important one, and I want to mention this.
Absolutely.
The number one reason that people are institutionalized as they age is because of a fall. The number one reason that elderly people fall is because they lose muscle dexterity and muscle memory in the lower limbs. So this is important for leg exercise. So now go ahead.
Yeah, and some people also end up in assisted care because they can't literally stand up from a chair.
Right.
And that's totally preventable. But let's say you're weak. Let's say you're really weak. You can do deadlifts with that 50-pound kettlebells. Let's say that you're stronger. You can do one-arm deadlifts with a kettlebell. I'm sorry, one-legged deadlifts. Let's say that you're stronger yet. You can do front squats. You can hold it in the rack. Let's say that you're quite strong. At that point, we're going to the pistol, the one-legged squat, where you sit down rock bottom on one leg with the other leg in front of you.
Okay.
In the kettlebell. And that's extremely hard. Most people cannot do that. So you may be able to, or somewhere almost on the way there, you can do the hack squat. The hack squat, none of that machine nonsense.
Right. Well, we hold it behind you, in other words, right?
Hold it. Imagine that your hands are handcuffed in the small of your back. And you're getting down in the balls of your feet, and the kettlebell's right behind you, and you stand up. Well, I'll tell you what. We've seen 600-pound squatters who can't stand up once with an 88-pound.
Is that right?
Because the leverage is killer.
Right.
So we approach strength work with kettlebells the same way gymnasts approach strength work. When there's not enough weight, you just compromise the leverage.
You know, I was going to ask you about different athletes that could benefit from kettlebell training. I have two daughters who are competitive figure skaters. I'll bet your kettlebell training is excellent because there's a lot of moves you have to do with one leg, like the shoot the duck and the lunge, that the kettlebell can increase the strength of the leg, the one leg at a time, to enable you to perform those types of movements better. What other athletes do you notice that gravitate towards kettlebell training to help accelerate their progress?
Well, Carl, traditionally when we got started in Russia, it's a kind of a hard man thing to do. So traditionally it started with powerlifters, it started with fighters. But right now it's spreading out into pretty much any sport you can think of. And people see great results. Why? Because the kettlebell is the best tool for developing your general strength, GPP and general strength. There is a misunderstanding in this country. They use the Russian terminology, GPP. What does GPP mean, general physical preparation? Here people think it just means some light conditioning. No. General physical preparation means developing your strength, endurance, flexibility, all other attributes that are not involving the direct exercises in the events of your sport. It's just simply general strength training, general conditioning, general flexibility. So let's say you're a figure skater. For you, if you're a figure skater, well, maybe figure skater is not a great example. Let's say you're a sprinter.
Right.
Doing very heavy barbell squats is GPP.
No, I got you.
For a powerlifter, it's SPP, special physical preparation. So, and the way they say GPP is what you want to do. It's a foundation to build your special preparation on. And what you want to do, GPP is something that enables you to perform very well at a wide variety of tasks. And the kettlebell is unmatched for enabling you to get good at things you've never practiced. If you just go to dragondoor.com and go to our forum, talk to people, or read our testimonials, you'll learn that people have gotten good at things they never even practice. They don't run, then they just go out and run much faster.
Right. Now, let me ask you, Pavel, we're coming towards the end of this interview. How many kettlebells do I need? Do I need a set of them? Where do I start?
Carl, you start with one kettlebell, and that's really will do for quite a long time. Typically, a typical untrained male starts with a 35-pound kettlebell and a book or a DVD, enter the kettlebell. A very strong man starts with a 53-pound kettlebell. And that's it. Later on, you may add more bells. But you know what? It sounds really light, but I'm telling you this. Even Spud Bartley and Don Thompson, world champion powerlifters, they still have fine things to do with 35-pound kettlebells.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Well, I have to tell you, I am going to go out and get myself a kettlebell. I've heard a lot of good things about kettlebell from other people, and that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because I wanted to learn more as my listeners learn more about kettlebell training. And your website is fantastic. Dragondoor.com is a fantastic website. There, and I have been in the forum. I've been lurking in the forum, and I've seen some of the questions that are asked and the thorough answers that you provide. You spend a lot of time giving support and training, also training other trainers to go out and teach the process as well.
Yes, sir, we do. And, comrades, subscribe to my free newsletter as well. There's always going to be a training tip there. And I just want to tell you this, Carl. Your listeners, I'm going to make better men out of them, even out of the ladies.
That's a good one. I like that. And if you go to our website also, if you go to superhumanradio.com and go to today's show schedule, you'll see a link there for a book called The Russian Kettlebell Challenge. And then if you go to Pavel's website, dragondoor.com, you can get more books, you can order kettlebells, you can communicate with them and learn more about this. Pavel, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Carl. Power to you and power to your listeners.
Thank you. We'll be right back. We've got another great interview coming up. Managing insulin is key to building muscle and staying lean. Now from NeedToBuildMuscle.net, get the most effective insulin-mimicking, insulin-sensitizing, nutrient-partitioning supplement available without a prescription. Need2Slin. Need2Slin combines scientifically proven agents that shuttle glucose out of the bloodstream and into muscle, avoiding fat accumulation while simultaneously increasing insulin sensitivity on a cellular level. Need2Slin is so powerful that it should only be taken before a meal. You can get Need2Slin by visiting NeedToBuildMuscle.net. Don't risk another meal becoming fat and not muscle. Get Need2Slin today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. 861-4936, wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro,
world and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
This portion of Superhuman Radio is being brought to you by Fulstaxin. Fulstaxin is the only orally delivered myostatin inhibitor shown to reduce circulating myostatin by 37% in human test subjects after a single dose. Go to Fulstaxin.com to learn more. Fulstaxin, the freak maker. I also want to welcome some new listeners. We've got a new affiliate in Las Vegas, Fox News 1280 KDOX. Welcome to Superhuman Radio. Visit the website, superhumanradio.com. Can heat increase muscle growth and gains? My next guest is going to help us better understand the answers. He's a research scientist in the Muscle Physiology Lab at University of Pennsylvania College of Medicine. He's Dr. Joshua Selsby. Welcome to the show, Doc.
Hey, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So let's answer that question first of all in the simplest terms. Can heat increase muscle gains and hypertrophy?
I would say conservatively, yes. I mean, there's some good evidence out of Japan, I think, that more directly answers that question than my work does.
Okay. Now, I mean, when we talk about increasing muscle gains, there's lots of things that increase muscle gains. Exercise in and of itself does. But over just exercise by itself, does heat actually stimulate a greater degree of hypertrophy?
That's what the evidence suggests right now. But it's... The thing to keep in mind is that it's a pretty severe heat stress that the muscle would have to undergo.
Okay, so but we're not talking about char broiling, right?
No, you don't have to grill it to get the effect, but it is a pretty substantial heat load the muscle would have to take.
Okay, before we get to that, let me ask you, how does it actually do this? What pathway does this work?
I think in my mind, there's two lines of evidence. The first would be that these heat shock proteins that the heat stress would induce could actually function as antioxidants. And antioxidants have been shown to inhibit growth and actually contribute to atrophy. The other line of thinking in it is that it could potentially augment IGF-1 pathway activation.
I was waiting for you to say that. My favorite little molecule, IGF-1. Interesting. And so do you think that prostaglandins play any role in this, in the formation of heat shock proteins? Is there anything that they have to do with? Because I noticed that extreme heat also stimulates, I think, PGE2 and PGF, I want to say 2-alpha, which PGF2-alpha, I think, is associated with protein synthesis, isn't it?
You know, I'm not sure. There's so many molecules, it's hard to keep track of all of them.
Okay. But there's no evidence that there's any prostaglandin activity in what you've done research on, is there?
I've never come across it in my research, but that's not to say that it's not out there.
What exactly is a heat shock protein?
Heat shock proteins, it's a family of proteins that are probably more accurately referred to as stress shock proteins. And they're expressed in one form or another in every single cell in the human body and really every single organism that's ever been studied. And the idea is that when these cells experience some kind of shock, be it an osmotic shock, a UV shock, or a heat shock, they express specific proteins that help the cell overcome that stress. So in the case of heat, the big concern is that proteins will start to unravel, and they'll lose their three-dimensional shape.
Okay.
So these heat shock proteins actually come in and refold these proteins. But one of the other things that they do that I think is really beneficial is that some of them can directly scavenge these free radicals, and these free radicals are also produced during this heat stress. And that's where I think the real benefit comes in.
What other types of stresses can upregulate these heat shock proteins other than just direct heat itself?
UV radiation, salt, a big salt load can do it. Certain types of drugs.
What kind of drugs?
Usually like toxic drugs.
Okay.
Like, these proteins are expressed in response to keep the cell alive. So when the cell feels like it's under duress, it expresses these proteins.
Interesting.
There's another battery of proteins called cold shock proteins that are expressed when the muscle gets too cold. And it's really just kind of interesting how the cells have evolved to express this kind of emergency rescue system.
Really? Wow, that's really amazing. Now, it appears that heat shock proteins affect both satellite cell proliferation as well as protein synthesis. Could we think of the satellite cell proliferation in muscle as hyperplasia? Or is that not the right term to use in that instance?
Hyperplasia generally refers to an increase in muscle cells, this muscle cell number.
Right.
And I think I would be hesitant to say that there's much hyperplasia going on in mammalian skeletal muscle. I think more likely what's occurring is you're getting an increase in satellite cell infiltration into already existing skeletal muscle, and you see an increased hypertrophy.
Okay. Could the heat shock protein be activated? Is it only activated during systemic delivery of heat? Like, in other words, does the whole body have to be heated, or is it something that can be done localized? You know, can I put a hydroculator on my biceps after I train biceps and raise their local temperature to a point where I would initiate this response?
That's a really good question. And if this therapy is going to be effective to increase hypertrophy, I think that's the way it's going to have to be. We collected some early evidence looking at using ultrasound as a modality to increase localized heat, like increase localized core muscle temperature, and it was effective. We didn't really refine the technique to find the precise volts or ohms or whatever the unit of measure is
right.
with ultrasound, but we did get localized heat shock protein expression, so we had it in one limb but not the other.
You know, because you mentioned something about UV a moment ago, but also far infrared and near infrared, certain areas of that spectrum are used to stimulate deep tissue heat for therapeutically dealing with pain, like muscle pain and bursitis and so on and so forth. And they have the ability to not necessarily create heat from contact, but heat from the light radiation penetrating the flesh. So I'm wondering if far infrared or near infrared light could be used to stimulate enough heat to create that heat shock protein to be produced without causing so much heat to actually cook the muscle, if you will.
I think that's probably true. But again, I think a lot of work and a lot of careful study needs to go into determining the precise amount of energy that would go into the limb and go into the muscle to generate a precise amount of heat. And the concern is that you could do considerable damage to the muscle if you cook it.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, that's the wrong thing to do.
Right.
You know, the reason I got onto that, the reason I found your study in the first place was because I was doing research in the therapeutic value of the dry sauna heat, because I'm a big proponent of, I love to sit in the sauna after I train. It relaxes me. I believe that it aids in my recovery. And so I was looking for different values for the sauna. Now, the average sauna is somewhere between 100 and 110 degrees typically. And I have to believe, that if someone sat in a sauna for the recommended period of time, which is 10 minutes, generally most saunas have a sign inside that say, don't sit in here for longer than 10 minutes and don't sit in here if you have heart problems and all that sort of good stuff. I have to believe that your core body temperature elevates a few degrees above normal when you're sitting in a sauna. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, with that being the case, is it possible that a small amount of this response could occur if you sat in the sauna after training? And I'm talking about really training. I mean, if you train intensely, you're training legs one day, you're squatting real heavy, and then you go sit in the sauna for 10 minutes after your workout, shower, and leave. Do you think there's any value in that?
You know, I'd be hesitant to say yes, but certainly there's no evidence against it. I mean, I think, again, that's a real avenue for study. It does, sitting in a sauna for 10 minutes, it would have to elevate your temperature enough to induce heat shock proteins, and the other part of it would be not elevate it too much that it's dangerous. And so certainly the potential exists. Absolutely it exists.
Where does it become dangerous? First of all, the rats in your study, how hot were you actually getting their core body temperature?
We held them at 107 degrees for 30 minutes.
Now, this means their core body temperature was 107 degrees.
Core body temperature was 107 degrees.
Now, normally when a human being has a core body temperature of that, you're being rushed to the hospital because you're having a severe fever at that point in time.
At 107 degrees, most people, if you had a fever that high, you'd have severe brain damage and be risking death at that point.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a pretty severe heat load that we gave these the rats. And they're pretty hardy animals. I will tell you, so we used Celsius when we heated them. We heated them at 41.5 degrees Celsius, and we had zero fatalities. However, in our early work, we were using 42 degrees Celsius in some pilot experiments, and we had a 50% mortality rate. So we were right up against that borderline of life and death. And that's something I think if people are going to try this, they need to be well aware of, that they can certainly die attempting to do this.
You know, I mean, personally, what I envision is, you know, getting a heat pad. You know, let's say I train legs one day, and then I go home and I have a couple heating pads or hydroculators sitting in the microwave, and I throw them and I wrap my legs in them while I'm doing my work at my computer. And I do that for, you know, 15, 20 minutes at a time. I've got to be raising the local temperature of my quadricep and hamstring muscles by doing that. And I guess the real issue is, what's the threshold? How hot do I have to get them in order to see a value from this? I guess that's the real question.
That's a fantastic question. And unfortunately, I don't think that there's a precise answer. I will say, in my experience, we needed to get above 40 degrees.
Celsius, you're talking about.
Celsius. So roughly, I think, 103, give or take. So, yeah, I mean, and in fact, in our studies, we actually used just regular run-of-the-mill heating pads to heat our rats. So I think there's every reason to believe that you could do the same thing with your leg.
This is very interesting. Very interesting. I mean, is there evidence that there is cellular damage at if you were to get your legs to 100 degrees Fahrenheit? I mean, do the actual cells themselves start to die? I mean, what's the point, the threshold there where there's cellular damage that occurs? Do you know?
I don't know. In a trained population, actually, I think it would be higher than it would be in a normal population. So if you're an endurance-trained athlete, I think you could expect that while you're working out, your leg temperature actually probably gets above 100 degrees anyway. And there may even be an exercise-induced T-shock protein response already. In terms of strength-trained athletes, I'm not exactly sure. And I think that work hasn't been done yet, or I'm not aware of it anyway.
Okay. All right. Nuclear factor kappa have anything to do with this response in heat shock protein? And are you familiar with that?
So NF kappa B is, let's see, yes, I believe NF kappa B is actually a heat shock protein inducer.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about the modalities of possible use of this information. You're listening to Superhuman Radio, and we'll be right back. DJ Braun knows how to get in shape and stay in shape. He's appeared in numerous bodybuilding and fitness magazines, and now he's ready to help you. Whether you're a man or a woman, PJ Braun has the expertise to help you reach your goals faster and easier than ever before. Utilize his one-on-one distance training services, and your friends will want to know what your secret is, but we'll never tell. Services are affordable and customizable to suit your individual needs. Nutrition, training, and supplementation are all covered. Stop spinning your wheels and start building the body that you've always dreamed of. Go to PJBraun.com today. That's PJBraun.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
PJ Braun knows how to get in shape and stay in shape. He's appeared in numerous bodybuilding and fitness magazines, and now he's ready to help you. Whether you're a man or a woman, PJ Braun has the expertise to help you reach your goals faster and easier than ever before. Utilize his one-on-one distance training services, and your friends will want to know what your secret is, but we'll never tell. Services are affordable and customizable to suit your individual needs. Nutrition, training, and supplementation are all covered. Stop spinning your wheels and start building the body that you've always dreamed of. Go to PJBraun.com today. That's PJBraun.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram.
Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitrix EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games, we just help you win them.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking to Dr. Joshua Selsby about heat, the application of heat, and how it can enhance muscle growth. You know, during the break, Dr. Selsby, I was glancing at some of the studies, a couple of them that you had recommended that I review as well, and it looks like that there is a greater degree of muscle growth when heat is combined with exercise.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the research looks like.
I mean, so with, you know, heat by itself obviously has the ability to make some of these changes, and exercise by itself has the ability to make some of these changes. But when you combine the two, there is a greater degree of muscle growth and hypertrophy, it appears. And also, interestingly, you know, a plug for Bikram yoga. This one study that shows, you know, mechanical stretching and heat. And I know that the Bikram yoga people, they train in like 120 degree heat. They do that yoga stuff, stretching and all that sort of thing. And so obviously there's some value in that as well to build muscle mass.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole lot that we don't know yet. We know, I mean, we can look at the evidence and say heating is good, but exactly the mechanism and the precise heating, you know, routines still need to be worked out. I mean, I think there's a lot of promise here.
Yeah, but and this is like, I've done shows like this before where we talked about things that are kind of on the edge, where you just can't go out and be cavalier about it and go, all right, I know what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to train next week, and then I'm going to lock myself in a sauna for 40 minutes and be a muscular monster in 2 weeks, but and you end up stroking. I mean, obviously, these are the kind of things that, because the all of the factors have not been worked out and we don't know exactly where to go with it, that if people are going to try to adapt any of this information in their own training, they have to be very, very cautious.
Extremely. And I'm glad you mentioned that point. That this is, you know, when we talk about research, the cutting edge, and it's brand new, and exactly how useful it can be is still up for debate, although it does look extremely promising. But right now, I mean, if you want to go out and try it, please be very careful.
Right. And if you are going to try this application, and I'll say this again, I think that the ideal thing is not necessarily to train hard and then lock yourself in a sauna, unless you do that currently. You know, unless you're used to sitting in the sauna, because the sauna in and of itself is something that you have to gradually adapt to and increase the time that you spend in there so that your body can become accustomed to it. But I do think there's a great value in maybe just localized heat. I just can't help thinking that, you know, training chest and then laying some, you know, some sort of heating mechanism right on your chest for 15, 20 minutes afterwards has to have a value, just as it would if you wrapped your legs after training legs or wrapped your upper arms after training biceps and triceps, that heat would work. And now my listeners in Las Vegas could probably just drive home from the gym with the windows open. and they would probably get the same value there. So, but yeah, you have to you obviously have to apply these precepts cautiously until a standard is set for how to use this particular application. It looks like the Japanese are doing most of the research in this, other than yourself, huh?
Well, yeah, they got off to a pretty fast start with it, and there's another guy who I didn't send you the links for, Kondo, who really kind of started this whole line of research. They're doing some cool stuff, but you brought up a point before about using the heat after you lift it. It might actually be beneficial to do before you lift, to get the heat shock proteins in place before you actually go and give the growth stimulus.
Okay, interesting. Can we so explain why?
Well, the idea is, like I said, I think free radicals are a huge component, but also potential stimulation of the IGF-1 pathway. And so you'd want those things already to be augmented before you go and give the growth stimulus or the potential damaging stimulus that could be weightlifting. And so if those mechanisms, those protections are already there, the potential, I think, for increased protein synthesis is greater. So the muscle can get bigger faster, ideally.
Okay, so if you're going to apply local heat and use this approach, then it sounds like it's wiser to do it before training.
That would be my guess. And the other thing that I would say is that this isn't something you should do just once. It's something that if you're going to do, you need to commit to.
Right.
Simply because a single bout of heat stress could actually increase. It's called hemoxygenase or heat shock protein 32. And there's some limited evidence that says a little bit of this is a bad thing, but a lot of it is a good thing. And if you do a solitary heating bout, you may increase it just a little bit, and that little bit, you know, could actually hinder you.
Okay. Now, but the studies that have been done in Japan and the one that you performed as well, was the heat applied after? Well, did you do one with exercise? I think you did one with loading, right?
I did one with reloading. So what we did is we put the animals in a cast, and then we took the cast off after a week and let them walk around again. And so my first heat bout was actually while the animals were still in their cast. So the heat shock proteins were ramped up before the muscle was loaded.
Okay.
I think that's what the Japanese groups have done as well, is that they increase the heat shock proteins before they give the growth stimulus.
Yeah, two of the studies that I have here, they did. And one of the studies, interestingly enough, cites that this could be a benefit for athletes. I just think that it was interesting that they were working in that vein. I know that your work is in a more benevolent area now, right? You're working on muscle-degrading diseases, correct?
Right, like right now I'm working on muscular dystrophy.
Right, and there's a website that you wanted to mention to my listeners, and you wanted to have them visit.
I did. It's an organization started by parents whose children have muscular dystrophy. It's called the Parent Project Muscular Dystrophy, or PPMD. I don't have the exact website, but if you go to Google and you type in Parent Project Muscular Dystrophy, it pops right up.
It's actually parentproject.org.
Parentproject.org.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I thought this would be a great audience simply because you guys are so well-trained, and they have all sorts of fundraisers. For example, there's one for you endurance athletes that it's called Run for Our Sons. And basically it's for marathoners all over the country. They have, I think they're trying to put Run for Our Sons teams together for most of the major marathons throughout the country. And it's just it's a way to give back, and it's a nice charity to think to be involved with.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's very benevolent of you to mention that. And you can also find more information if you can't find the website. Go to my website, superhumanradio.com, and look at today's show, and you'll see a link on the description page for today's show to the website as well. So there you have it. I mean, it sounds like heat is a good thing if you use it in moderation before training, after training. That's kind of up in the air. It sounds like maybe before training is better, and it's something that you do have to do regularly. And I would recommend, if you're going to try this, to use localized heat, like heating pads, and that sort of thing. And if you are a big proponent of the sauna, like I am, the sauna can't hurt either. It has a lot of other benefits as well. So there you have it. Dr. Selsby, I want to thank you very much for being on the show and talking about this breaking research.
Well, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure, too. So there you have it. I want to also thank Pavel Tsatsulin for talking about the kettlebell training today. And you can visit his website at dragondoor.com. I want to thank my producer, Kevin O'Neill, to help me put these shows together, and we will see you next week with another episode of Superhuman Radio.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special...